Hi, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
Back at it.
Back at it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we are.
Two in the same week. I guess it's kind of, what this has done is evened us out for the weeks that we couldn't do this.
Yes, it has. So, you know, that was good planning on our part.
Yeah, yeah.
We understood that, you know, things might happen. It is summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we are.
Yes. So, let's get right into this episode, which happens to be the 10th episode in the 6th season and originally aired on December 4th of 1994. And the title is Grandpa Versus Sexual Inadequacy. Just reading about Grandpa and sexual inadequacy. Yeah,
this is a banger of an episode.
Yes, it is.
No pun intended.
Uh-huh. So we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags.
Yes, so the chalkboard gag is Bart writing, "My homework was not stolen by a one-armed man."
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a reference to the fugitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the couch gag is the family running past a constantly repeating background of the couch and the TV.
Yes. Speaking of Flintstones and
Yes, they just made that joke in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there we go. And so we are going to start this one watching TV.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the TV screen displays $1,000 movie.
Yes.
There used to be one called the $1 million movie.
The $1 million movie, yeah.
This is the budget version.
The budget, yeah. So the announcer says, "We now return to the 1971 film, Good Time Slim, Uncle Doobie, and the Great Frisco Freakout, starring Troy McClure."
I guess we can catch all those pot references there.
Yeah.
So we see a multicolored Volkswagen Bug being chased by the police. And we get this guy, Slim. If we got the bag with the stolen diamonds, then what happened to the bag with our stash?
And Slim says, who is the great Troy McClure,
mm-hmm.
of course, the great Phil Hartman.
Uh-huh.
Says, "There's more than one way to get high, baby." And he floors the pedal of the Bug, and it, like, jumps off a freaking ramp,
yep.
basically, and flies through the air.
And then we cut to Marge.
Yes.
Who's,
negligee, right?
Yeah. Only Marge can wear this long sleeved, full length gown and think that's sexy.
Yeah, because Marge is a square.
Yes.
And so she's trying to get Homer's attention,
mm-hmm.
right? And Homer says, "Please, Marge, how often can I see a movie of this caliber on late night TV?"
And then Marge goes, "Is there something wrong, homie?"
Says, "No, it's just that I've seen this movie twice before. And I've seen you every night for the last 11 years. What I meant to say is, we'll still go tomorrow, sweetie. I promise." that was a dangerous road.
He was digging himself a grave.
At least he caught himself this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think we've already established that snuggle is a euphemism.
Yes, that's what they call it.
Uh-huh. So a month later, mm-hmm. we cut back to the Simpsons bedroom.
Marge is there, like, waiting for Homer.
Yes, in her negligee again. And we see a really, really fat Homer just kind of like walk up. We can see his belly button. His pants are undone, right? And he sits down on the edge of the bed. And he's like, "Enchiladas."
Ugh.
To which, of course, Marge is going to be disappointed again.
Yes. And as he lays down, we see the button pop off the front of his pants.
Uh-huh.
And then later that year, they're together, finally, right? And they're nude. And Bart bursts into the room. "Mom, Dad!" And Homer and Bart both yell,
Don't turn on the light! Don't turn on the light!" So Bart says, "There's a UFO outside my window. Seriously!"
And so they go to Bart's room.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart says, "Oh, Bart, it's just an old golf umbrella stuck in a tree. And it's, you know, twirling around, and it swoops towards the window."
Mm-hmm.
And Bart's scared, though.
Yeah. He's, can I sleep in there with you guys tonight?
No.
Marge really wants to get it
in. Yeah.
And Bart's like, "Can I sit on the roof of the baseball bat in case a UFO does come?"
Yes, that's fine. Good night. She walks.
Marge is usually the one that's responsible. Not today.
So she goes back into the bedroom and she tells Homer, I hope you kept the homie fires burning.
And Homer's snoring already.
She's like, Homer.
Huh?
Homer, wake up! Wake up!
Whoa.
We need to talk about the marital difficulties we've been having lately.
And Homer's like, Marge, there's just too much pressure. What with my job, the kids, traffic snarls, political strife at home and abroad. But I promise you, the second all those things go away, we'll have sex.
Marge says, I said, we can't wait that long. Maybe we should get some help. How about a book?
Ooh, okay.
A tasteful book.
All right.
And as they are talking, we hear a clattering noise. We see a bat fall down.
And then Bart.
And then Bart follows.
Right off the roof.
The doorbell rings. So I guess he got up pretty quick.
Yep. So the next day, the family goes to the bookstore. It's called Books, Books, and Additional Books, where the daily special is a Michener novel for $1.99 a pound. The guy that wrote The Lonesome Dove, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
He wrote rather lengthy books.
Yeah, so I'm guessing why it's by the pound. That makes sense. That's a good little joke right there.
So we find the Simpsons, well, just Marge and Homer, in the marital relations section. And they're going through some titles, kind of like Weight Loss Through Laborious Sex, Bordello Repair, Bork on Sex. Robert Bork?
I'm guessing, right?
Why would you ever read a book?
I don't know.
How to Seduce Your Lousy, Lazy Husband, the Kama Sutra, Kosher Erotic Cakes.
Kosher Erotic Cakes. And Homer, I love this. Homer picks up the Kama Sutra and is like, hey, Marge! This guy looks like Abu.
And Marge's like, shh, I don't want people to see us looking at these books.
Bart and Lisa walk up, and so they just start looking at other books. Marge says, hi, guys, what you looking at?
And Marge grabs out, I'm just reading up on artillery.
She's reading Tanks of the Third Reich.
Uh-huh.
And Homer says, yes, and I'm pursuing my interest in. And then he yells, ah!
Yeah, he finally opened the book. Because on the cover, you could see a male's ass. Mm-hmm. I guess he saw something he didn't want to see when he opened it up. Yeah.
And so Marge goes to the book on tape section and says, this one's a good choice, and it's not too smutty. It's a book on tape by Paul Harvey. You know, that nice Midwestern man on the radio who's like a present version of Grandpa. Foreshadowing.
Yes, yes. And Homer goes, ooh, Mr. and Mrs. Erotic American.
And so Lisa comes up, she's like, Mom, Dad, look, this biography of Peter Umaroff is only 99 cents. And I found the new Al Gore book. And she holds it up.
Yeah, Marge's like, same planning, sensible tomorrow. Sounds like Al Gore.
Yeah. And Lisa says, yeah, I hope it's as exciting as his other book, Rational Thinking, Reasonable Future.
And Bart's like, I'm getting this book on UFOs. Did you know they're real, but there's a government conspiracy to cover it up?
Says, oh, that's just a paranoid fantasy.
And we go down to the counter.
Yeah, they're scanning everything in.
Uh-huh. And when they scan Lisa's book, it triggers this response. We see these signals going through the telephone wire.
Satellites, all that.
Satellites. Stuff. And then we see a flashing light. Actually, no. We see a Secret Service guy walk into Al Gore's office, and he told him that he just sold another copy of his book.
So he said, somebody finally bought a copy of your books. And Al Gore says, well, this calls for a celebration. And he puts on a...
Cool in the gang,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Celebrate good times. And he says, I will. Al Gore's such a square.
Yes, he is.
This was like the height of Al Gore then, right?
Yeah.
94, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Back before he became a climate billionaire.
Yeah, before his failed running for president.
Yeah. So we cut to Homer and Marge, and they're in the car, and they're playing Paul Harvey's cassette.
Yeah, they're in bed.
They're in bed. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm thinking later.
Yeah.
Right, they're in bed. And they're listening to Paul Harvey, right? And Harvey comes on. Hello, Americans. Paul Harvey here. Did you know that every good American is at heart an erotic American? It's true. a famous couple, I don't need to tell you, it was Dwight and Mamie Eisenhower, offered this advice. Dull your pleasure with a bath. Together.
And so they look at each other. And we cut to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. There's a candle lit. Homer's already in the tub. And Marge climbs in. And she's trying to climb. And she's like, Homie, I can't quite.
And Homer's like, faucet's jammed into my back. I'm stuck.
And Marge's like, so am I.
And Homer's moving around. And he manages to knock the faucet off the wall. And the stream of water hits Marge and turns out the candle. Yes. So now it's pitch black.
And all we see is their eyes, right? Uh-huh. And we just hear them, kids! Kids! What a horrible thing to be rescued from.
Yep. So next thing we know, we are in the car and they're listening to the tape. And Paul Harvey's like, a romantic vacation can provide titillation. Sensual sanitary seclusion awaits you at any of America's fine AAA-approved motor lodges.
Pull up to the Aphrodite Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Marge says, oh, the Arabian Nights room looks nice.
And Homer's like, ooh, the Pharaoh's chamber has a vibrating sarcophagus.
And the manager says, sorry there, Fred and Ethel. Should have made a reservation. You only got one room left.
And we see Mayor Quimby running in, and he's got this sort of caveman thing going.
Yeah, like a
uh-huh. And then he says, the toilet is overflowing in the caveman room.
And so there's also a safari room. There's a Camelot room.
Mm-hmm.
And so Homer says, oh, here we are. And he opens the door.
Well, he says, the utility room.
Yes.
And Marge is like, this isn't very erotic. It's actually a utility room.
Homer says, no, honey, it's a romantic fantasy. I imagine I'm the janitor and you're the janitor's wife who has to live with me in the utility room.
And they lie down on the cots just looking up at the ceiling, and the motel manager comes in. Don't mind me, folks. Just need to get the old whip dry vac.
It's so gross.
Uh-huh.
And so Homer and Marge are not happy, right? You see them on the ride home? No. And we hear Harvey, Paul Harvey on the tape again. He says, by now, your new improved love life should have you flinging woo like nobody's business. So to you, Mr. and Mrs. Erotic American, I bid good day. The tape flies out of the car and onto the road.
Yeah, Homer stops the car, backs up, and runs over it repeatedly.
That's the best part. Uh-huh. I love Homer's rage moments, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so Homer and Marge get home, not happy, right? Grandpa's there, and Grandpa says, welcome home, son. I broke two lamps and lost all your mail.
Marge walks away and
she's like, what's wrong with your wife?
Homer's like, never mind, you wouldn't understand.
And it says, flu?
No.
Protein deficiency?
No.
I don't know what he says. Is it neuro?
Pneumonomicrococcus.
Pneumono ultra microscopic silco-volcanoconiosis. I tried, guys.
And Homer's like, no.
Unsatisfying sex life?
Yes, but please don't you say that word.
She's like, what? Sex? What's so unappealing about hearing your elderly father talk about sex? I had sex.
Homer's like, oh.
That's such a good scene. That's such a dad thing to do.
Yes.
Like, no matter
You gotta embarrass your kids any way you can. Because
I can totally picture my father. I can picture you doing that to your kids. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Mm.
I did tell him I was the only male that had authority to mate in that house.
Oh goodness.
Dad! So Homer takes Abe back to the Springfield retirement castle. And he's like, you're home safe. Done my duty. See you next time we need your signature.
So terrible. Very. That calloused, man.
Mm.
And Abe says, oh, you never want to spend any time with me. Well, I can help you with your loving problem. I got a home remedy that'll put the zousers back in your trousers. And so he walks to the sink, right? Plugs it. He starts pouring all this different stuff in there from the medicine cabinet. And he says, legend has it, my great-grandpappy stumbled upon this recipe when he was trying to invent a cheap substitute for holy water. He bottles some, and he says, here you go. and Homer's gone.
Yeah. So he goes to the window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, here you go, you win great. Think of me when you're having the best sex of your life.
Oh.
Oh. Hey, he had to get him for that one. He took off on him. Like, hey, trying to help you.
Still, that would be a total mood killer.
Oh, yeah. But that stuff must work.
Mm-hmm. So Abe tosses the bottle out the window, and Homer catches it. Mm-hmm. And he yells, drink it! So Homer, you know, shrugs his shoulders, and he swings it down. And then he kind of gets his zing.
Yeah, he's like,
and he smiles, and he speeds away toward the house. So he opens the door really quickly. He unplugs the TV. The kids are there watching. They're like, what the hell, right? And he goes, kids, here's $50. Why not go to the movies, take a cab to your aunt's house, and then stay there, phone call you later, now. And he pushes them out the door.
Mm-hmm. And then he picks up Marge into his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all excited. She's like, oh, homie, what's... You know, she can't even finish.
Marge, I'll explain to you afterwards. And he carries her upstairs, and he shuts the door. And then we are treated to...
A little montage of innuendos here.
Yes.
Very risque.
Yes, we see a train running through a tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
We see a rocket take off. And we see a bunch of hot dogs on an assembly line. Yeah. So the camera pulls back, and it's the kids, and they're watching footage from a stock film festival. Mm-hmm. Why would you spend your money on that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so they're sitting in the front row, mm-hmm. and Lisa's like, what do you think Mom and Dad are doing?
Mars like, I don't know.
And so, cut to the next scene. Homer shaving, whistling.
Uh-huh.
Right?
In a real good mood.
Marge appears at the bathroom with Thor. And she's like, mm-hmm.
And she's wearing her same long
negligee,
right? And he's like, here he is, Rex Harrison and Paul Anka. I don't get it.
I don't know who they are.
Paul Anka? They're old. Paul Anka was a singer.
Oh, okay.
I think Rick Saracen was too. Rolled into one. Oh, that tonic really works. You and Grandpa should bottle it and go into business together.
Homer says, you want me to spend more time with Dad? What about my New Year's resolution?
To spend less time
with him. That's so bad.
Marge is like, you can make a lot of money.
I was like, yeah. Where are my pants?
And Marge is like, you threw them out the window in a fit of passion. You said you were never going to need them again. We cut outside, and we see...
The said pants are in a Flanders tree.
Uh-huh.
And we see Ned and Maude trying to get them out there, and you hear Maude say, oh, hurry, Neddy, they're awful.
And Ned's like, you just be ready with that garbage bag.
So bad.
Do you think they carry his scent with them?
No, that's what I mean, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm sure they're disgusting. And so we're at the retirement castle again, right? Abe's mixing a huge batch of this tonic in a bathtub. Right, and Homer's bottling it. Mm-hmm. Homer says, oh, mama, this is finally really happening. After years of disappointment with get-rich-quick schemes, I know I'm going to get rich with this scheme, and quick.
So next thing we know, we see Homer and Abe setting up a stand at the Springfield Mall. And then Homer walks up to this guy. Hello, sir. Yes, you. You look like you have a man who needs help satisfying his wife. So, and he gets punched right in the face. He's not much of a salesman, is he? Nope. He goes, oh, I guess people have some sort of moral objection to our sex drug.
And so Grandpa says, Grandpa's like, let me sell it, you idiot.
Mm.
Step right up, folks, and witness the magnificent medical miracle of Simpson and Sons' patented revitalizing tonic. Put some adore in your larder with our energizing, moisturizing, tantalizing, romanticizing, surprising, herprizing, revitalizing tonic.
And all the crowds around him starts to clap because it was rather impressive.
That was pretty good from Abe.
Mm-hmm.
The breath's funny, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was quite the salesman.
Back in the day. So they start selling this like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even Professor Frank buys a bottle. Mm-hmm. He goes, nyay, I doubt very highly that one elixir could boast so many fantastic properties. And he swigs it down, and he turns into a really handsome guy with a much smoother
voice.
What do you say we amscree out of here and have a wild wing thing at the cyclotron, doctor?
Yeah, and the other doctor. She's like, anything you say, professor? And takes her off. So I didn't know that that was
his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't see her very often.
No, we don't. But mm-hmm. I didn't know that that was his wife.
Yes. So
recently when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was just a random scientist that, you know.
Likes to work with him.
Yeah. And then we cut to the Van Houtens, mm-hmm. right? So Van Houten home, I guess.
Yes.
And we see Mr. Van Houten. It's like, tonight, we'll push the twin beds together. Oh, and God. I found something from Milhouse down at the mall, too. And he hands it to him. A pup tent.
And Mel was like, oh boy, now I can sleep out in the yard.
Yeah, every single night.
Push the twin beds together.
Oh, goodness.
Come on, man.
There are people that would live like that.
It ain't the 50s anymore.
No. Uh-huh. And so we see Milhouse, happy as a clam in the yard, right? Like yep. in his tent. Put in the background, we can see the silhouettes of his parents.
Making out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. And then we cut to Dr. Hibbert.
Yeah, and he's not too thrilled about this, right? Mm-hmm. And he his wife is dressed to impress, though, right? Yeah. She's already laying down in bed. And Dr. Hibbert goes, I've discovered that the rejuvenating effect people feel is actually a mild form of poisoning. No doubt a result of the unsanitary conditions in Grandpa Simpson's bathtub. Nonetheless, he swigs it down. He's like, ah.
Yep, I can stop him.
Uh-huh.
And so we cut to the main street of Springfield, and no adults are in sight.
We see a bunch of wild-ass kids.
Yep, and Milhouse is like, what's going on? We're all the grown-ups.
And Nelson's like, who cares? With no adults, I run this city. Carry on. And he walks away.
Yep. And Bart says, listen to this. And he's reading from his UFO book, right? Yeah. It says, unexplainable behavior. Individuals acting in a secretive fashion are often involved with UFOs or other paranormal phenomena, like telephone explosions.
And Milhouse, geez, if it's in a book, it's got to be true.
And Bart says, scary, no. And he's pointing at the author's photo. He's like, and this guy's head of the Spaceology Department at the Correspondence College of Tampa.
Sounds legit. Spaceology.
And as they're talking, our old friend, little Ralph Wiggum, walks up. He says, will you cook my dinner for me? My parents aren't around and I'm not allowed to turn on the stove. Oh,
poor guy.
I know, right?
So next thing we know, we see Homer and Abe preparing to take a road trip. Abe's like, hurry up. We've got a lot of time to sell and a lot of towns to visit. Frigid Falls, Mount Seldom, Lake Flaccid.
So terrible. And we're like, great, I'm going to be stuck in the car all weekend with that wheezy windbag.
And Abe was like, and that's what's wrong with Bart's generation. Now, as for your generation.
We're like, that must have been quite the spiel.
Uh-huh.
And so at one of their stops, right, Abe's talking to the crowd. He's like, and for the minimal outlay of $1, you can take home a bottle of liquid Lothario distilled Don Juan catalytically carbonated Casanova. Lock old Rover in the shed because man has a new best friend in Simpson and Sons revitalizing tonic.
And the guy's like, I'm not convinced. I've had bad luck with aphrodisiacs.
All questions will be answered. All fields will be allayed with one incontrovertible demonstration. May I have a volunteer from the audience? And he points to Homer. Yes, you, sir. Now, sir, you've never seen me before. Is that correct?
And Homer sounds like a really bad actor here. He's like, that is correct.
Well, then how come, and then a man says, like, how come his face is on the bottle?
And Homer's like,
And
next thing we know, they're all being chased out of town.
The banjo music playing. Like very Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes. The people in the back are in trucks and they're like shaking their fists, pitchforks and everything, right? And Abe's like, you're the worst shill I've ever seen. I'm sorry, Abe is like, you're the worst shill I've ever seen. You're a disgrace to the medicine shill business.
Homer says, they didn't start chasing us until you turned on that getaway music. And he turns off the radio.
And the hillbillies just stop and turn around.
That's funny.
Uh-huh. So next thing we know, from his treehouse and through a telescope, Bart is watching a bunch of men just shug this tonic down and running inside their house. And Bart's like, okay, it's not painfully clear. The adults are definitely paving the way for an invasion by the saucer people.
And Milhouse says, you fool! Can't you see it's a massive government conspiracy? Or have they gotten to you, too? And him and Bart start fighting.
And Lisa comes up and is like, hey, stop it, stop it! Why are you guys jumping to such ridiculous conclusions? Haven't you heard of Occam's Razor? The simplest explanation is probably the correct one.
So what's the simplest explanation?
And Lisa's like, I don't know. Maybe they're all reverse vampires and have to get home before dark.
Everybody, reverse vampires! And everybody likes them. Lisa sighs.
Yep.
She can't work with these people.
Nope, not at all. And we go back to Homer and Abe that are continuing their drive. And Abe points out at this old house in this abandoned field.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, wait a minute. That's Amos Pearson's moose farm. Make it right here. I never heard of a moose farm before.
No. I imagine that'd be pretty difficult to control.
Yes.
Moose will...
Those things are giant.
Giant, and they get pissed very easily.
Mm-hmm.
They will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
FYI, anybody, if you're ever out somewhere where there's moose,
don't mess with them.
Don't get close to it. Enjoy it from a very safe distance.
Or at a restaurant when you're enjoying a nice moose steak.
There you go. There you go. Which I've never tried, but I'd be down.
Yeah, they're rather good.
But yeah, don't mess with a moose.
So Homer goes, ew, why are we stopping at this dump?
And Abe says, that's the house you grew up in, son.
And Homer's like, wow, let's go find that hot dog tree I planted.
Goodness. A nice sentiment, but come on, man. Hot dog tree.
Hey, it is true.
Hey, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah. And so Abe says, yeah, we lived here till the bank foreclosed in 63. Farm went bust after the cows started giving sour milk. Something must have spooked them good. And we cut back to a young Homer, and it's in black and white.
Uh-huh.
And,
that,
and he's running through the barn and scaring all the cows.
Yep. And I was like,
just like, stupid cows. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just, you know, scare the crap out of them. Terrible.
So, next thing we know, they're walking through the front door, and Abe's like, memories. If this old place could talk, it'd say, and he pulls on the light cord in the ceiling, but the ceiling above him collapses, and he's hit by a bunch of vases and chairs and a toaster, and finally a tricycle on Abe's head.
And Homer's laughing, and then a tub falls on him, which is hilarious. And so they both go in the living room. They're hurt, and Abe looks at the old TV and says, there she is, the old radiation king. You park yourself right there and watch for hours on end.
And in the present time, you could see that that in front of the television, you could see a shadow of Homer's former self burnt into the paint.
That's a lot of time and a lot of radiation.
Yep. Would explain why Homer is...
a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice, not so much anymore, but I remember a time there when we still had arcades around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you ever notice, like, on some of the older games that, like, the screen had been on for so long? On
it was hot?
Things? No, that, like, it was burned into actual, like, screen itself.
Yes.
Like, it would switch to something else, but you could still see, like, the words or something that was just burned in there from being on there for years and years.
Yes.
Or is it like insert coin?
Well, you know, like those old people that watch CNN and Fox all day? One of them, you know, there's a reason why they have those displays kind of like spinning now. Because an old person, I think it was, wrote into Fox. I don't remember where I saw this. I read it somewhere on the internet, but like these strangest complaints they've ever gotten. And the guys from Fox News says, yeah, this one old guy, old lady, I don't remember who it was, sent us this message about how the Fox News logo got burnt into the TV because that's what she watches all the time.
It's just there. Yeah.
And she said she didn't notice until like her husband was watching a movie and she could see the Fox News thing burnt in on the side there. So it was still happening up until recently, yeah.
I guess that's how they move it around.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see Homer's shadow, right? And Homer's watching Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Kennedy saying, if I may, Helen, I'd like to respond to that question with another, with yet another flip remark.
And everybody laughs and goes crazy. And then Homer goes, wow. And he walks into the kitchen, right? This is young Homer.
Yeah.
He says, look at me, or mom, I am President Kennedy.
And you hear her say, oh, Abe, maybe our Homer could grow up to be president someday.
And Abe is not having any of this. He goes, you, president? This is the greatest country in the world. We've got a whole system set up to prevent people like you from ever becoming president. Quit your daydreaming, Melonhead.
And we cut back to the present, and Abe says, quit your daydreaming, Melonhead, to Homer, because he's daydreaming.
Yeah. By the way, that's solid parenting there from Abe.
Yeah.
For young Homer. You can see why he's such a crappy parent. So then Homer says, Dad, how come you never gave me any encouragement? Maybe it could have been something more than I am, like a travel agent or a great scientist or an inventor of a hilarious refrigerator alarm.
And Abe's like, who are you to complain? You lock me up in a home and give me the same damn shower safety seat every Christmas.
So next thing we know, we're in the car, right? And Homer's like, your whole life, you never once said, you never said one nice thing to me.
And Abe says, that's because you're a screw-up.
You're the screw-up.
Why, you little, and he strangles Homer. Right?
Homer's like, all right, that's it. We're going home. I'm sick of you and your stupid tonic.
And Abe says, if I hadn't taken that stupid tonic 38 years ago, you'd never been born and I'd have been happy. You're an accident.
So Homer gasps. He floors, he slams the brakes.
Yeah.
He's like, get out.
And Abe says, I'm sorry, is that that?
Out.
I'm going to get out of the car. And I hope you'll find it in your heart not to drive away.
And then Homer peels off.
And Abe says, well, I'll be all right as long as I can remember my RV training.
Later that night, he's still standing there.
Dang. So bad.
I guess he couldn't remember any of his old army training.
He was quite the badass, though. Yeah. We'll learn later on in the lore.
Yep, and the fighting hellfish.
The fighting hellfish, yes.
Next thing we know, we hear the doorbell ring. And Homer goes to answer it, and he finds Abe standing there with a bunch of flowers. And he says, I'm sorry. But Homer just slams the door in his face, and he walks away.
And he shoves the flowers through the mail slot. You just see them, like, break it apart in there. And then he waves through it.
Yeah.
And Marge says, homie, are you really just going to ignore Grandpa for the rest of your life?
Of course not, Marge. Just for the rest of his life.
That was a smart
response. Yes. He said I was an accident. He didn't want to have me.
And Marge says, you didn't want to have Bart.
I know, but you're never supposed to tell the child.
He's right.
Yeah.
Marge said, you tell Bart all the time. You told him this morning.
But when I do it, it's cute.
That's so bad.
Oh, my God.
You did it this morning. You didn't say they're an accident. Surprise.
Yes, yes.
In the words of my sweet mother.
Did I ever tell you the name of the third child? We were gonna if we had another child, what its name would be?
What?
Accident.
Accident.
Boy or girl, the name is Accident.
Accident. Mm. That's harsh.
It would be better if it's a boy. We can just call him Axe.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You were named after a body spray. And so we're up in the treehouse now.
Uh-huh.
And the kids are still trying to figure out what's going on with the adults, right?
Yeah, so Bart's like, so finally, we're all in agreement. What's going on with the adults, Milhouse?
And Milhouse is like, okay, here's what we've got. Rand Corporation, in conjunction with the Saucer People.
And Bart's like, thank you.
Under the supervision of the reverse vampires.
And he's like, oh.
Are forcing our parents to go to bed early in a fiendish plot to eliminate the meal of dinner. We're through the looking glass, people.
He's so lame.
I love that one, though. I love the end.
We're through the looking glass.
Your people. I love that. He's through a house in this one. So good.
Yeah, so Homer is trying to talk to his kids about what's going on with him and his dad. And you know, Bart's eating a candy bar, right? And Homer's like, kids, your daddy and his daddy are involved in a very sticky, nutty, chewy chocolatey, put it away, boy, situation. And your daddy has realized something very important. A father should always make his kids feel wanted. Starting right now, I promise to spend a lot more time with you and give you the attention you deserve.
So he gets up and he hugs Bart and Lisa, right? They can't move.
Yeah.
And we cut to Abe, who's still trying to sell the tonic.
Yeah.
And he's there saying, "And just feast your ears on this tantalizing testimonial from my own flesh and blood, the son that puts the fun in Simpson, and son, my son, Barney."
So Barney walks out from behind the curtain. "I used to be a fat, disgusting slob."
Yeah, guy says, "That medicine seems to be giving your son a lot of gas."
And Dave's like, "I assure you, his belching is a result of an unrelated alcohol problem."
And Barney takes a swig and collapses, right? And everybody walks away, uh-huh, upset, right? And Abe says, "You know, it just ain't the same without Homer. He knew how to drive the car." And he walks to the next town, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Homer, meanwhile, is eating chips with Maggie strapped to his chest. Uh-huh. It's hilarious.
And the of course, all of the crumbs are falling, yeah, all over Maggie.
Funny. And so Homer says, "Son, my dear son, From now, I'm going to be a good and attentive father. And for starters, your old man is going to teach you how to ride your very first bike." He brings out a girl's bike. He starts riding it and it breaks apart. So terrible.
Homer's like, "Number one." Bart's like, "Number one, I know how to ride a bike. Number two, I already own a bike. Number three, that is a girl's bike."
Homer says, "You're no girl. You're a boy. Good boy. You can be president. Scratch that. You will be president." Well, he doesn't end up being president. No. I think he gets a better job, though. Because later on in the series, spoiler alert, you know, Homer's dream job for Bart actually comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we've seen a flash of it before.
Yes.
But it actually happens that Bart becomes Chief Justice
of the Supreme Court. Yeah.
Because Lisa becomes president.
Yes.
The points. So I can't wait to get to that. That's so cool. Anyway, then, so Lisa calls from like somewhere else, right? "Dad."
Homer says, "I think Lisa needs another push on her new tire swing."
"No, Dad, I want to get down. This tire is filthy and the steel belts are poking me."
And he pushes her. Wee! Wee! By the way, did you ever get one of those tire swings?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I did too as a kid. But then they wanted me to get on one later when I was older.
Uh-huh.
I'm still a kid, but older. I'm like, why the hell would I want to do that?
One of my friends when I was a kid in the neighborhood, his dad was part of like a trucking company or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they would get those big tractor tires.
Yes.
We would put each other in them. Oh, man.
You'd roll each other down the street.
Yeah, we would put a hole in them and like put a rope in it so you could hold on to it,
mm-hmm,
at least in the inside. Yeah, we just throw each other down the street and those things. That was fun, man.
I guess the good thing about living down here is it's flat, so you're not going to roll down
the hill.
Yeah,
you're not going to go uncontrollably anywhere.
Yeah.
No. So that was fun. Oh, you never did that as a kid.
Yeah.
You missed out.
So Bart's like, "No offense, Homer, but your half-assed under-parenting was a lot more fun than your half-assed over-parenting."
Homer says, "But I'm using my whole ass."
And Lisa's like, "Dad, it's just too much of your love can be really scary."
And Homer sighs, "Someday you'll thank me for all this scary love. But now I've got to go somewhere and do some serious thinking." And he gets in the car and drives off.
And Bart looks at Lisa and is like, "I'm sure he meant to say serious drinking."
That's what I assumed. They know their father.
Yep. So Homer goes back to his old house where he was born. He walks in. Here's where it all started to go wrong. "How am I supposed to be a good dad when I never had one myself?" He kicks the wall and an old book falls from a shelf and it falls open and he sees a photo of a young Homer greeting Santa Claus on Christmas morning. And, you know, he looks at a match so he can see it better. He's like, "Oh, Dad wasn't even around on Christmas morning when I actually got to meet Santa Claus. Some father..." Wait a minute. Because I guess he finally realized.
He took this long to realize that he actually did not meet Santa Claus.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was his father dressed as Santa Claus.
Three kids later.
Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, this photo is a blessing. It eases my pain. But then the match he was holding
catches fire.
Uh-huh. And he tosses it away. And before you know it, fire spreads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see in another room in the house, apparently Abe is standing by the fireplace with a fire in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, this tonic's caused me nothing but trouble. And he says, you've done all the damage you're going to do. And he throws the bomb to the fire, but it explodes and it sprays fire everywhere. And he runs out yelling. Homer runs out too, and they collide on the front porch, right?
Yep.
And we have a dad, son moment, right?
Yeah, and Homer's like, I'm a screw up. I burned down our house.
And Abe says, no, I'm a screw up. I burned down our house.
And Homer's like, you know what?
What?
We're both screw ups.
It doesn't matter. What matters is you were right when you told me. I never said anything nice about you.
And Homer's like, so what are you going to say? Are you going to say something nice now?
Well, I hadn't thought that far ahead. Okay, here it goes. I'm not sorry I had you, son. I was always proud that you weren't a short man.
And I was like, oh, Dad. And they hug as the roof on the house caves in.
And now they're on fire.
Uh-huh.
And Abe says, what do you say we roll on the grass, son?
And Homer's like, I am with you, Dad.
And we end the episode with them rolling around in pain, trying to put out the fires.
Yes.
And scene.
Yes.
Oh, man.
There was a lot of ridiculousness in this
one. So good. There's just too many. All the innuendos, the titles.
Think of me when you're having the best.
That's the best part of the episode. That whole scene. Talk about sex.
I had sex. That's
so bomb. Oh, legendary. Legendary. Mm. This season is so good.
I'm not even gonna ask you. I'm just gonna say this was a five donut episode for me.
We're in a streak right now where it's just
a bunch of.
We're in the peak of this season.
Right? Yes. Full ridiculousness going on.
And not only are we in the peak of the season, we're like in the peak of Simpsons lore right now.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Because the last, I don't know how many seasons, I just can't compare.
No. As good as they were, you can't.
Now, I do have to admit, recently they have started to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they knew they were in a rut for a little while.
But they went through seasons of crap. But don't worry, we'll review all of them for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you the highlights and the lowlights, too.
Lowlights, yeah. But yes, five donuts all day, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
All right. Do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we sign off?
No, just thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yes. Please. So
check out our pages.
Yes, check out.
Our ratings and our likes and all that.
Uh-huh.
Follows.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, give us a follow if you can. Give us a rating, 5-star, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, it just makes it easier for people to find this podcast and for them to listen to it. Don't forget, we have the official show Instagram page, official_Homer's_donuts, without the apostrophes. I have been slacking on that, I will admit.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been busy. I got, you know.
What happens?
Yeah. And I, about 2 weeks ago, remember when I called you and I told you I was sick?
Yeah.
I think it was the Rona. I never went down to get tested, but I was like in bed, worthless for 2 days. Then even after that, I still felt bad for like 3 days after.
Might have been.
And up until today, I'll get the little sensation and I'll have to cough out a loogie.
Oof.
This is like 2 weeks later and I'm still coughing out loogies. But if that's the worst that happens to me,
yeah, you're fine.
I'm fine. It's no big deal. I know a lot of people had it worse than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I can sympathize.
Yep.
But
yeah, the Simpsons guy had all that going on.
Yeah.
He's prepping to be a grandfather too.
So yes. It's been a busy summer.
Yes, it has.
I'm not one of the usual slow ones that I like. Before you know it, we'll be back at work.
Don't say that word.
Yeah. Let's enjoy July while we can. We haven't hit July just yet. Yeah. Let's enjoy all of July while we can.
Yes, sir.
You have anything else you'd like to say?
Nope, I'm good, man.
All right, guys. Until next time, au revoir.